This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air, Linda Cohen along with you. Well, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, roughly 26 million Americans have diabetes. That's over 8% of our population. And complications from diabetes include nerve damage and poor blood circulation, especially to the limbs, which when severe can require amputation of the affected limb. We'll hear with more on this and the latest methods of prevention is Dr. Palma Shaw, an associate professor of surgery in the Division of Vascular and Endovascular Surgery at Upstate Medical University. And she has extensive experience in diabetic limb salvage. Welcome, Dr. Shaw. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
So let's start with this whole notion of diabetics are at risk for limb amputation. That's fairly shocking. Help us understand why that is.
Diabetes is a very challenging problem to have. Many patients are focused on the idea of controlling their sugars, and they don't really appreciate how the problems with diabetes are affecting their blood vessels. The blood vessels in the body that are affected significantly in diabetics include the vessels in the lower extremities, to the kidneys, to the brain, and in the heart.
So basically, when we talk about the lower extremities, we're talking about the fact that they're not getting sufficient blood flow to their limbs. And how does that affect them?
What's challenging in particular about the diabetics is that when they get vascular disease, it tends to be in the smaller blood vessels that are located in the calf. This makes it very difficult to revascularize those patients and increase the blood supply when the blockages do develop.
So what exactly when we say they're having, what are the consequences of having low blood flow to your limbs?
So when the diabetics who oftentimes have underlying problems with neuropathy and foot deformity that has to be carefully monitored by their primary care doctor and the podiatrist, when they develop, for example, a blister or a wound from a shoe that rubs on their foot, that perhaps because their foot is somewhat numb and they don't feel the way a non-diabetic feels or a person without neuropathy feels, they don't realize that they're getting a wound on their foot.
So let me back up here. So the idea is if there's not sufficient blood flow, there's a development of what we call neuropathy or lack of feeling in our feet. Is that correct?
Well, no, actually the neuropathy develops independently.
Oh, at the same time.
Independently, right, from as part of the disorder with the diabetes. And that makes these diabetics at risk for wounds on their feet.
Because they can't, they can't feel it. So they have no clue that a big ulcer or blister is forming on their foot, which then leads to
a wound that won't heal. And then the diabetics are also at risk for infection because their white blood cells don't fight infection as well as a non-diabetic. So for that reason, you may have a diabetic who develops a wound on their foot simply because they got some swelling, their socks were too thick, it rubbed against the shoe, and then they may not even have great vision because diabetics get something called retinopathy. So they can't even see that there's a wound. Then that wound may become infected, and then they are brought in for an evaluation. That may be the first time that the patient actually is told that they have blockages in the arteries.
It sounds like a perfect storm. I mean, it sounds like so many things about diabetes will lead someone to the potential for something like this. And I was shocked to read that 1 in 5 foot ulcers can ultimately lead to some level of amputation. And this was a statistic that really blew me away, that patients with diabetes represent up to 80% lower extremity amputations annually. That's roughly 60% of the annual non-traumatic amputations that take place in this country.
And unfortunately, that is still true, and we're really fighting to prevent that in these very at-risk patients. So we've attempted to increase patient awareness and public awareness about how to prevent these problems, going to the podiatrist, looking at their feet, trying to get proper shoeing. That being said, they're often brought in to see us, and they may have poor blood supply. So in addition to treating infection and identifying the causative factors that cause the ulcer in the first place, we have to work the patient up and determine if and how we can improve the blood supply to that foot so we can save that foot for that patient.
So it's really almost a need for prompt management, especially if there's an infection. You need to get on it immediately to avoid or avert the idea of a full amputation.
Absolutely. Because in diabetics, they are immunocompromised, And that means that their immune system will not fight infection the same way a non-diabetics will. Additionally, if they don't have good blood supply to their foot, then you can give all the antibiotics that you want, but the antibiotics go in the blood and the blood can't get to the foot. So therefore, you have an untreated infection, which can act like an abscess, and the patient can quickly lose the limb.
That's really interesting, because that's exactly what I mean. It sounds to me like a perfect storm, a lot of factors coming together to put amputation almost as almost a probability in those cases. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Upstate vascular surgeon Dr. Palma Shaw, and we're talking about diabetic limbs and how to prevent amputations. So let's get to the prevention side of it. You were alluding to the fact that there needs to be an awareness. Is that true then, a monitoring on the part of their primary care physicians or their diabetologists? Tell us about that.
Yes, the primary care doctors need to be aware that in addition to their standard management of control of other comorbid factors, other diseases such as hypertension, coronary artery disease, potentially kidney disease, and monitoring the sugars closely, they also have to be aware that these patients may be developing wounds, that they should be seeing a podiatrist routinely, that we have to be extremely careful that those things don't develop, but that when they do develop, we have a heightened awareness and act promptly to try to deal with those things and identify those patients at risk for limb loss.
So the key here is that there needs to be obviously careful monitoring, but tell us about how you're the kind of environment within hospitals or within your setting in terms of treatment. I mean, are these multidisciplinary approaches? And if so, tell us about it.
So the team itself may differ from institution to institution. In general, one speaks of a vascular surgeon being involved or a vascular specialist. Sometimes we can treat the blockages in the arteries with crossing it with a wire and ballooning it or using other minimally invasive newer techniques. But other times, the patient is best managed by an open surgery where we can use the vein as a conduit to bring the blood back down to the foot and save the foot in that fashion.
Excuse me. So the goal is basically to revascularize or get the blood flow to the foot. That's kind of the key point here.
That is correct. Then once we do that, we will then try to find out how we can best salvage the foot itself. Because even if you bring blood supply to the foot, if there's been significant damage to the foot, the front of the foot, the bones in the foot, you have to try to figure out how much of that foot you could actually save that will allow that patient to have a meaningful ambulation. Because if you don't save enough of the foot that they can actually walk on it, then you may not in the end be doing them a favor.
So that's part of your evaluation. You really have to know exactly how much damage has taken place. And this is after prevention. It did not do its job, so to speak, when you find that you really have a wound that won't heal. How about other methods of wound healing? You want to try to revascularize the area. So what other methods might be of help there?
So many of these diabetics, aside from having inadequate blood supply or potentially venous insufficiency or venous disease, which may also decrease the ability to heal through lack of delivery of oxygen. Aside from those particular things, the wounds themselves, when they're not healing and they've been present over 4 weeks, they stall out, like a car stalling out.
Yeah, what does that mean?
So really, it just stops acting. The cells that are supposed to be bringing the wound into a better condition and healing them and helping them close stop working. So what we really need to do is identify those wounds that are chronic, revascularize the patient, treat infection, and then deal with the wound healing aspects and the foot, preferably a foot length salvage approach. But if you,
which means?
So rather than perform, for example, a blown knee amputation, what we really want to do is preserve even half the foot is helpful to the patient. We want to really have a foot length preservation. The longer portion of the foot you can preserve, the better off the patient will be with respect to walking.
So what about things like hyperbaric therapy? Does that play a role, and if so, how?
So after you identify a chronic wound, there are several expected things that we do to try to improve the healing, such as removing surgically or through enzymatic chemicals or medicines the cells that are really not working and try to freshen up the wound, so to speak, and convert a chronic wound to an acute wound. And those acute wounds will then hopefully move towards healing.
So you kind of send a message to the cells, hey, let's get rid of some of those deadbeats and bring in some lively healers, so to speak.
So wake up the wound. And then if you don't have adequate response then we use advanced therapies. And the reason you really should use your standard therapies first is because this can all be very expensive. So anytime you start using advanced wound healing modalities, you're talking about a significant expense.
Let's get back to, though, the idea of waking up the wounds. I remember the term debridement is just something that jumped into my head. So is that a surgical procedure for clearing out or getting rid of some of these deadbeat cells?
Right.
Tell us about that.
So we routinely debride the wounds. That will convert a chronic wound to an acute wound.
By removing, surgically removing the old cells.
These stalled out old cells, any bacteria. Sometimes there's just bacteria on the tissue that is not really necessarily affecting the patient, but it's sitting there. And sometimes we have something called a critical colonization. There's just too many bugs sitting on the wound, and that will prevent healing as well. So if we use a scalpel or scissors and clean off that tissue, then this wound will then have an opportunity to heal.
But how about hyperbarics? Let's get back to that, because I remember talking to people over the years here at Upstate about the hyperbaric therapy chamber that they have that is very important to promote wound healing. Tell us about that.
So the thing with the hyperbaric therapy, which is considered one of the advanced wound healing modalities I referred to, that is only paid for by insurances for certain indications, because the truth is there's only enough data to support treating with it for certain things. So one of those things
Does it work?
For Wegener grade 3 diabetic foot ulcer, which generally means that the wound probes to the bone and you have something called osteomyelitis or infection of the bone, it is indicated, there is data to support its use, and we do feel that as an adjunct, as an additional thing, it is helpful, but it certainly does not replace all of the things we've just spoken about.
Are there other advanced techniques as well?
Yes, there's certainly a number of them. One that's commonly used is a bilayered living cell therapy, which looks like a skin graft. It's made from umbilical foreskin and a cell line, so we can apply that to arterial wounds, diabetic wounds, and venous wounds as well, and really jumpstart the wound healing.
So basically, you do have a number of options, a variety of options, and the goal here is to, as you said, revascularize the foot, deal with whatever infection, get the wound healing, and perhaps save on the amputation. Prevent the amputation or as much of the amputation as possible.
Exactly.
Well, that's hopeful. And I appreciate your coming in and sharing all this very important information with us. My guest has been Dr. Palma Shaw. She's an associate professor of surgery in the Division of Vascular and Endovascular Surgery at Upstate Medical University, and she is well-versed in specializing in diabetic limb salvage. Once again, thanks. Appreciate your coming.
Thank you.
I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.